back on the record. Do you want to wait? Okay, Mr. Jones.
I would like to wait, Your Honor.
Okay, that's fine. We'll wait.
It might be. Did you talk to him?
Do we have any public witnesses signed up? Just one. Okay. All right, then. We'll proceed with the committee, then.
Your Honor, before we proceed with the committee, the company became aware that it misrepresented something on the record.
Okay.
This was an answer in response to a question asked by Mr. Ginsburg.
Okay. Then if you want to follow up with that
question,
just have your witness clarify that.
Mr. Jones, when asked by Mr. Ginsburg regarding the customer application date deadline of May 15th that was originally indicated in the company's filing on March 23rd, 2009, whether in our April 6, 2009 updated letter, it was an oversight that date was not changed. Can you speak to that? Can you correct the record on that?
I can. I initially indicated.
Can you make sure your microphone's on?
I can. I initially indicated it was not an oversight on the company's part, and it was indeed. With our initial filing on the 23rd of March, with an April 1st effective date, we provided a 45-day window for customers to turn in applications. When we filed our concession letter adjusting that date to May 2nd, we should have also adjusted the 45-day window for turning in applications as well. It was an oversight.
And so when would the deadline be with respect to customer application deadline filings?
It would be approximately mid-June.
And that would be a 45-day?
45 days.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. With the committee, please.
Can I just have one moment?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
The committee's witness in this matter is Michelle Beck. She does need to be sworn.
Ms. Beck, if you would raise your right hand for me. You solemnly affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, Ms. Beck, if you would describe your position with the committee and provide the statement or the evidence that the committee wishes to present today.
Yes, I will. I am the director of the Committee of Consumer Services. The committee is the state agency charged with the responsibility of representing small commercial and residential consumers and utility matters in front of the commission and elsewhere. So the consumers we represent are the consumers who would participate in the program that is at issue in front of the commission today. Just as a little bit of background, I want to go on record to say that the committee supports all cost-effective conservation. We believe that it both lowers consumers' bills today, those who participate in it, as well as helping to provide the least cost resources for future. It's been noted several times, we were all here 3 weeks ago on a similar Questar issue. In fact, Rocky Mountain has requested to align their date with that date of that change. However, we want to note that in the case of Rocky Mountain Power, these programs are even more critical because Rocky Mountain Power, or the PacifiCorp system in total, is facing over a 2,000 megawatt deficit in the year 2012. So resources, least cost resources, any available resource are of critical importance when we're talking about this utility. And I believe that that must be kept in the forefront in all discussions about demand side as well as supply side resources. The committee has two major policy concerns with the proposed changes and the manner in which the changes were proposed. The first one is just the issue that of adequate consumer information and notice about the programs. We believe that it's vital to maintain consumer confidence in these programs, which ultimately helps to maintain consumer participation, to absolutely ensure that good information is available and in a timely manner. I'll speak to that more later. The second major concern that we have is that the focus on program design must be on maximizing the total overall energy savings. This is not a regulatory exercise. It is an important tool to be used in maintaining resource adequacy. So I will pick up on some of the comments made by the division with respect to the difference between maximizing savings and maximizing a single program's cost effectiveness. Let me first speak towards the issue of consumer information. First of all, I'd like to thank Rocky Mountain Power for its efforts. We greatly appreciate the fact that they responded to the concerns we raised in the Questar case. It was the day after the Questar case that they made changes to their website. We did receive additional information regarding what information they tried to provide to consumers in responses to data requests that came in late on Tuesday. They indicated that they had changed their scripts with customer service agents. However, their a staff person from the committee called Rocky Mountain Power's customer service number on April 7th. The agent was very nice, tried to be very helpful, and tried to be very diligent looking up the information. However, despite a number of different proddings in terms of, well, what if I'm not going to be able to schedule in my installation to be installed until May or June or even July, there was no mention of potential upcoming changes to the program. And further, this customer service agent asked whether or not the caller was a Questar customer and told them about Questar's 35-cent rebate that could be combined with theirs. Now, the agent did, however, direct the caller to the website, and on the website there was that notice. But I think we need to be mindful of the fact that while more and more consumers are getting information from websites, it's not everyone. And so these changes with the customer service agents for callers need to be made the same time that they're made on the website for those who get their information from that method. We also are aware of the media coverage, and we also are aware of the contractor brochures. We do not share the company's view that the media or contractors are the ones who should be providing information to consumers. We think it should be the regulatory system, and it should be the utility itself. I know that in my personal experience, I've seen a lot of media reports that are not 100% accurate. And I found that to be the case on some of the coverage of the insulation issue. So I'm somewhat offended that those were offered as customer communication. But ultimately, I want to go back and say that I am impressed by the company's attempts to make that communication, and I think that as we as a community put a greater emphasis on this communication, we'll do a better job of it. I'm certain of that. I just don't think that this particular program is quite ready to be rolled out for the changes. The second policy concern that the committee has is that there has been an insufficient focus on maximizing total energy savings. One issue that the company raised in its filing and reiterated numerous times in its responses to the committee's DRs is that the intent for this program was never to have a standalone insulation program, but rather that it would be in concert with the other home energy savings programs, and that having these programs work together would maximize savings. And the committee thought that was a valid point to be raised and really rather compelling, although unsupported. In fact, there are no design changes whatsoever being proposed to address that issue, a compelling issue, and one that might lead to greater total energy savings, which should be all of our goal. The other real fundamental issue, it goes back to the division's concerns about the forecast of the number of participants. When Mr. Jones from the company testified, he referenced optimizing the program. However, he had earlier testified about six specific factors used in determining the rebate levels, and one of those factors was not forecasting the number of participants. Now, I don't presume that his fixed six factors constituted the complete set of every analysis that they do. However, this analysis was not presented to us. We started to see some of it in the data responses. In particular, I noticed some information in the responses that went to the division, which I received as I was walking out the door last night. So certainly not enough time to further explore it, although I think it warrants further exploration. The only way to maximize total savings is to understand what the costs are, what the rebates are, and what the participation levels will be at these various rebate levels. So again, I made this point before, the highest cost benefit test you're going to get is the lowest rebate cost. So a $10 rebate, a $20 rebate, $30, $100, the higher the rebate, the lower the cost-bend test will be. That's almost by definition, that's how the tests are done. But we're not trying to maximize cost-bend results of the test. We're trying to maximize savings results of the measures. So it's very much a price-quantity thing that's going on, and it is fundamental economics. And with the lack of additional supporting evidence, that's all we have to rely on, both as interveners, as regulators, and as the administrative law judge in this process. Another just minor note that I'd make is that this request has been requested to align with the Questar program. However, I think this would have been relatively easy to do behind the scenes. Questar hadn't started to mention a change until well after Rocky Mountain Power had, yet they got their filing in. And so I think that's a laudable goal here in this jurisdiction where we have a somewhat unique situation of one regulated electric company, one regulated gas utility, even though there's not 100% overlap. Yes, it's a laudable goal to get these programs aligned. And so why not do it? I think the way to do it is not to come in asking for expedited treatment. The way to do it is to coordinate behind the scenes. There's a large overlap in the DSM advisory group for both utilities, and I see no reason why we couldn't address that. So it just seems to me that here we've had a rush to a change because of this unanticipated change in the market and, frankly, a lot of recent attention paid to it. The change is fine. If we need to change because of changing market conditions, absolutely. It just needs to be done in a measured approach. So to conclude, I just want to end with what the committee recommendations are. First of all, I think that we all share the same goal, and that is to maximize savings. The company witness talked about that's the primary purpose of DSM programs. I heard the division witness talk about that, and we certainly stress that strongly. I think we need to work better toward that goal. I would turn around a question that the company has asked earlier and ask, why would the company oppose rebate levels that result in a higher level of total energy savings? I don't understand that. We're facing enormous deficits in the very near term. If the answer is that it doesn't optimize or it isn't cost effective or it isn't the most cost effective, then my second question would be, where's the evidence? I think this is the kind of information analysis that needs to be brought in supporting applications like the one before you today, or even preferably to the DSM advisory group, which I understand is hard to schedule. All of us have difficult schedules, but I think all of us share priorities in terms of resource adequacy and cost effectiveness, and we'll do our best to accommodate those schedules, more frequent meetings so that we can address these. And I want to stress that as the consumer advocates, we do not want to overpay for resources, and that is not what this testimony is about. We want to maximize savings. So if we can get the same number of resources for a lower cost, that's fine. But if we lower the cost and the total amount of resources associated with it drops precipitously, that is absolutely not okay in this environment. So for all of these reasons, given that the evidence is not there to support the company's changes, we will support the DPU's recommendations. We think that the level of rebate changes that they're proposing is much more reasonable given the level of evidence that is out there. And further changes could be made down the road after additional discussion, additional evaluation, additional analysis. Nothing ever precludes that. Furthermore, given the inconsistency of the nature of information that went to consumers, we do think that additional time should be out there for that. So we support the June 1 date as well, and we believe the 60 days for completing the applications is also fair. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Ms. Beck. Mr. Ginsburg, any questions?
No, sir. No questions.
Ms. Hogle?
I have none.
Okay. All right, then. If that's it, let's have our first public witness. Mr. Kevin Emerson. Mr. Emerson, let me just explain to you. You can testify under oath. Well, if you testify under oath, you can be cross-examined, but it can also be considered by the commission in reaching their decision. If you just like to make general comments, not under oath, you can't be cross-examined, but at the same time, the commission can't consider those in making its decision. Which do you prefer?
Okay, I'll just
Okay, go ahead. If you could just state for the record your name and address, business address is okay, and who you're with.
Okay. My name is Kevin Emerson, and I'm the Energy Efficiency Program Associate with Utah Clean Energy. My business address is 1014 2nd Avenue, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84111. And Utah Clean Energy, we're a nonprofit public interest organization. We work with diverse partners to advance energy efficiency and renewable energy and build a new clean energy economy. And first, I'd like to recognize Rock Mountain Power and Pacific Corp and all the work they're doing to meet our growing energy demands, and as well as their recent award as a 2009 Energy Star partner from the EPA. Regarding the attic floor and wall insulation participation that was submitted on March 23rd by the company, these are the kinds of energy savings or participation numbers that we would hope to see in the state to reach Utah's energy efficiency goals and to help save consumers energy and money in these down financial times. And we understand that there are indications in the market that it's begun to shift, that there are problems with insulation elements of Rocky Mountain Power's home energy savings program with respect to recent marketing by contractors, coordination between Rocky Mountain Power's and Questar's rebates, changes in customer costs, and the incentive becoming a direct install, which it wasn't intended to originally. We're supportive in general of the concept to realign the incentive with current market conditions and to improve oversight, quality control, and coordination of the company's rebate with other incentives available. We do have some concern that the changes are being proposed too quickly without adequate time for full enough stakeholder input. And in addition, we're concerned that reduction to the wall insulation in particular, the incentive for wall insulation is too severe. The fact that insulating walls is more costly and more difficult an undertaking than other parts of a resident, we would hope that the wall insulation would remain as high as is cost effective. And it appears as though the cost effectiveness that was submitted with Rocky Mountain Power's original filing on March 23rd demonstrates that there might be room for a higher wall insulation incentive based on the utility cost test and a total resource cost test. We would support these changes with a higher rebate for wall insulation if it is determined to be cost effective. And in addition, we would support the changes if the company is directed to study in the future some kind of tiered incentive to provide an option for insulation installations that exceed code, perhaps. Whereas now, if I understand it correctly, the insulation needs to be a minimum of R19. If the insulation, were to be, a minimum of, the code in the future will be R49. That's something that we would like to see considered. And with that, that concludes my remarks.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Emerson. Any other witnesses? No? Then we're scheduled to go to 12:30 for public witness. What we'll do is we'll recess until 12:30, and then at 12:30 we'll come back on, and if no additional witnesses have shown, then we'll adjourn and we'll submit it to the commission for decision. So let's go ahead and recess.